You know, you sound like an alien to me, so I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Hello, Jessica.
What's up, Elsie?
What is up?
Are you ready?
Are you ready for some football? Just kidding. Didn't he get fired? He totally got fired.
I don't know, but that would never happen on this show.
Yeah, no. I don't know anything about it. Right. No, I just know every time I see, I hear, are you ready? I always say that. That guy got fired. But anyway. Right. So here's a guy. This is sort of like, how would I say it? Like a hot topic. I think it's a hot topic. And it's been a hot topic since the inception of podcasting, if you will, which is donations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a hot topic.
Yay or nay? Yay or nay? Yeah. And you know what? We're going to discuss also models, like models of, you know, of this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
What do you think?
Donations.
We'll get into the nitty gritty right away.
Well, so like donations come under the, I guess I shouldn't go down that road. I was going to say donations go under the category of support and reviews. And I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about that this time or just donations. We can just, let's just talk about donations. If we get to reviews.
Okay. That could be a bonus because we have talked about that in the past, and I'm sure this is going to be a topic that we can talk about for every single episode.
I still want an answer to how to ask for reviews without feeling like a heel. But I don't have it yet. Okay. So donations. So I've been noticing in gathering the materials for the podcasting, for Podcasting School for Women, all different ways that people ask for donations. And some are just overt and just plain old, like NPR, support NPR, because we can't do this show without you. And then some are like kind of hilarious.
Okay.
So like, I want to share with you like Adam Curry.
I don't know if you ever noticed
like his donation page.
Absolutely. Well, not his donation page, but I have listened to
I've never listened. See, you're better at that than me. I never listen to anything.
Because I'm obsessed, dude. It's the only way I consume content.
Yeah, I know. So like, meanwhile, I watch TV like nobody's business. But so if you go to the No Agenda Show, noagendashow.com, and you go under donations, here are the donation programs, right? You can be, for a limited time, you will, for all $33.33 donations will be gifted an authentic podcasting license signed by Podfather Adam Curry. Like, what is that worth? Diddles. But it's hilarious. I would love to have a podcasting license from Adam Curry. I think that would be fantastic. Okay. Ugh. And that's because they're on show 333. Now, you can also be knighted and have a No Agenda knighthood. So if you if you contribute $1,111.11 for 11/11/11, or take advantage of the $111.11, you can get your knighthood in 10 months. Which is like, first of all, why does that take so long? Or you can get instant knighthood for like $1,000. Or you can be knighthood layaway for $50 a month. Which is like, again, nonsensical, ridiculous, but hilarious. Like, why? It's a creative way of like making people feel like they're getting something for their donation instead of just begging for support, which I think is funny and cool.
I love the mothership boarding pass.
Hold on. Let me get to that. Where is the mothership boarding pass? I know. I just passed
it. It's like if you go down after night layaway plan, if you keep on scrolling down, it says still available for $33.33 mothership boarding pass.
You'll get a numbered boarding pass for the mothership, which Adam is convinced will arrive to save the planet and take away only those holding the boarding pass. Hilarious. I can't even stand it with him. So anyway, so I am in the current process of putting together my support page. And Elsie, if you just want to go to, because I just put up the homepage, even though there's nothing on the actual page. If you go to ladybusiness.biz and you scroll down, you can see the support button, and it has a big bra on it.
Okay.
Because it
oh
says,
my god.
Because we
oh my
all
god, oh my god.
Support once in a while, right?
Oh my god, that is so perfect. Dude, you just are my hero
yeah,
when it comes to this stuff. It's so cheeky and
sometimes.
So perfect.
Right. But so I haven't quite, this is actually why I wanted to talk about this today, because
okay.
I have not quite figured out what my approach is going to be for support. Should I do the whole, like, lady business can't do it without you? If you enjoy the show, please consider it. Or should I go Adam Curry's route and just make shit up to give people? I don't necessarily want to get in the business of sending things out. However, right. I could make a cafe press item, and then every time I get support over the amount of, I don't even know, like $50, send a t-shirt or a mug or something. You know, something that costs less.
I think that's the hard part. I think that's the hard part. You know, it's the, this is how they do it a lot of the time
on
No Agenda.
NPR too.
Is,
yeah.
You know, my first of all, No Agenda, it has a very, very, like, engaged audience. I mean, they're like gung-ho, crazy pants
obsessed.
People.
And he's been around for forever.
Yes. And then the No Agenda show is also really long. I think it's about 3 hours or more long. It's like super pants, like crazy pants, long. And they do have, like, they have set up specific times during their show to really go off and thank their people. So everybody gets a mention, and I think that there's some sort of highlight
it. 3 hours, 2 hours, 42 minutes, 3 hours, 14 minutes, 3 hours, seven. Yeah. It's super long.
Yeah. It's super long. So there
Holy
are
crap.
Places where they, and when they're in the show, they really do a conscious, like, it's not like, hey, if you want to donate, you can do that. No, it's like a serious push. Yeah. It's kind of like the total. And, you know, whenever the public television shows do their weird thing where they interrupt the program and you're like, oh, what happened? I was watching that show. And it's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like that. It's like that. But everybody, I assume, is used to it. And they do it in a way that's kind of organic to whatever the conversation is. But they do, it's a very big model. And it's amazing what people donate. I mean, they really actually do get completely and utterly funded by their producers. And part of it is that they have kind of shifted it on its head and made it seem so much more fun than it is, number one. And number two, they do get a say in the content. It's kind of like they are, like, they've been pushed to say they are the producers of the show. So if these people decide this is a topic they want to address, or this is something that they want to really push, they will do it. You know, okay. So they have, the audience members have,
so
a
the
certain,
knights, they're allowed.
Yes.
To.
So there's certain, yeah. There's like certain power that comes from donating the money, the kind of power that you would, to some degree, give your producer if you had a producer, an executive producer of your show.
Yeah. It says so, producers, but you have to donate $1,000 in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I think, fair.
Yeah. So anyway,
if anybody donated $1,000 to my show, I'd certainly give them some say.
Right? Don't you think? So anyway, there's that model. And of course, you know, they're running all this on their own. So they have set up their own dealio. So I believe, I'm not sure. I actually haven't gone through the process because I have not contributed.
Right.
So I don't know what kind of process they have set up to kind of, it's just PayPal.
No, another.
So they basically,
go ahead.
I'm just saying that it was just set up for PayPal. So you basically just.
Yeah, you just PayPal them.
It's just PayPal them. Like, you just go follow the links and it's a PayPal thing and you just kind of do it.
I'm almost tempted to get the Mothership boarding pass just in case. What if he's right?
Just because
I'll need
it's,
one.
Of course, right? I'll yeah, yeah. One. And if you listen to Adam, if you listen to him for 3 hours, then you will all of a sudden be getting that motherboard. Yes,
really?
You will get the boarding pass. So yeah, there's that. But then, you know, if you want to do it the way that a lot of people are doing it right now is via the Patreon model, you know, because that's like the super famous thing that people are doing right now for Patreon.com. The Patreon.com model, which is exactly what we were just talking about, but it's set up specifically to create this whole ability to.
I'm a creator. I am a patron.
Yeah. So then right here, what you do is it's kind of like a Kickstarter campaign sort of, but it's ongoing. It never stops. And it's basically for people who are artists and creatives. So people who come to Patreon are, that's exactly what I just said, artists and creatives. Right. So it's like somebody who's creating a comic book, somebody who's creating an art piece, somebody that's a musician, somebody that's doing that kind of stuff that is looking for support for their art. And so a lot of podcasters have taken this model to get the donation. So they have
Signing up through Patreon, or they're doing it on their own site?
No, they're signing up through Patreon. So they're getting a Patreon page.
What do you think about that? I don't know what I think.
Well, I actually was really enamored by the concept because of this, but I changed my mind, but I want to show you why I really liked it. If you go to that Patreon page, if you see it right in front, at least at this moment, if you start to scroll down, you'll see that there's a DTNS, the Daily Tech News Show, right there on the bottom. You see that? Okay, click on that.
Tom Merritt.
Yes. So Tom Merritt is one of my... Tom Merritt is one of my heroes. Like, I just adore him. I think he's a fantastic, phenomenal content creator. And he has been in journalism for a long time. He's a tech journalist, but mainly a host. And he's been basically doing daily tech news for years. He started at CNET. Then he went to Twit, you know, with Leo Laporte. And then Leo let him go. And this was a very big thing that happened because Tom had a huge following, and he's, like I said, he's very good at what he does. So when Leo let him go from his last show, which was called Tech News Today, basically he was left jobless, right? He was left like without, because he was getting paid like a regular person for doing his show, his daily tech news show. So he basically was like, okay, people, you, my audience, I'm going to start a daily tech news show, and I'm going to need you guys' help. So he started a Patreon model, and now look at how much he's making per month.
$11,000 a month.
Is that not
It's crazy amazing.
Things? Yeah. So he started this.
It's the dream.
January. He started podcasting his show like this. It's the same model he's always done many years. He started podcasting the news, again, just daily tech news, January, which is when his contract was up with Leo, and he just started to do this stuff. And he has been pushing this. That's it. And people have signed up, and they are just totally loving every moment of it. Somebody designed his logo from his audience. Somebody created the music, I believe, as well. And people are creating commercials for him. Basically, they send in the whole, you know, you need to support, you know, daily tech news via Patreon, and they do it. They send in that stuff.
Man,
isn't that amazing?
I really love that.
So,
how much do you have to give to the Patreon? Anything?
Anything. You don't have to. You can do one at. He basically
what
sells
do they get
it.
Out
as,
of it?
I think you can see. Let me see.
Maybe
I think if you click through. I think that he really didn't do too crazy. Like right there, it says pledge $1 or more a month. And if you click on that, I think it gives you like, it's super easy. It's like, it's super, there's no, you're not getting anywhere, anything. Just thank you.
No, I know. But I guess what I'm saying is what's in it for the company, for Patreon itself?
Oh, I see. I have a feeling that they must get some sort of, you know, just like Kickstarter. There has to be some sort of,
like
or like PayPal,
or
like some kind of fee to do this. And so you basically, I've never signed up for a Patreon thing. But see, this is the beautiful, beautiful way to do it. Now, if you go back to and you start to look at all the different now podcasters that have gotten Patreon, because, of course, podcasters listen to Daily Tech News Show.
Right.
And so they're like, I want to do that too. And then all of a sudden you have like, you know, the guys in the basement who are like, I'm going to make all this money if I just get a Patreon page, right?
Yeah.
And so they're doing this show and they're trying to get people to sign up for their stuff. And it's like, you know, $5 a month from like one person.
Yeah.
So.
Like I'm looking for other podcasters.
I see. I don't know. Oh, you can see. Oh, no, those are just people who like
it. Search at the top podcasts.
Yeah. Can you?
Yeah.
Let's see.
There's a couple different ones. Oh, here's one from Philadelphia. Surviving Creativity is Creating Podcasts. He has 73 patrons. He makes $129.70 per episode. Kind of nice.
That's not bad.
And then let me see. Like, it says give $1 per episode. Become a patron. Now, see, I wouldn't do an episode. I would do a month. Because I have 8 episodes a month. So he's basically asking for $8 a... I mean, I don't know how often he does his thing.
Right.
But still, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's those things. It's just that, of course, you know, your audience, that they'll kind of dictate what it is that you want to do it. I know there's another one, Geek Beat TV, has a big following, and I think, big Geek Beat.
Yeah, this guy doesn't have a huge following. He just has, you know, he has 73 patrons. Anyway, that's really interesting. And this is a good way to not beg, is what you're saying.
Kind of. Yeah. You just send him over to have, you know, but the same thing though, it's like, you know, Tom does a very good job. Well, the thing is he doesn't have advertisers, and his whole point was, I don't want to have advertisers for this show unless I really, really have to. So what I sell is basically himself. So he's basically saying, if you like this and you want this, donate $1 a show. Mind you, he's got a big audience and he does a daily tech news show. So he breaks it down that way. Instead of month, he does a daily thing. So, you know, that's a lot of shows a week. I mean, and a lot of shows a month. That said, though, this is just like one way to do it. There's like the other way to do it, which is sort of like the subscription model, which is kind of like donation based, but you are
what's the difference between this and what Libsyn offers, which is
It's kind of like I don't know if you've ever kind
or
of
having
heard
an app.
Right. Have you ever had heard the Mark Maron show by any chance?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So that guy, well, he keeps his last 50 shows for free.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is in the back catalog. So that if you want.
Keith and the Girl. Let's visit them too. Yeah Maron and Keith and the Girl.
Yeah. So those two guys are doing that sort of like everything. Something's behind a paywall. And what Mark offers is the fact that it is a community. So you're donating to him, right?
Right.
And then you have like the My Libsyn model, which is what Libsyn offers. It offers you the ability to have like a paywall website, right? So that you look at the content via that paywall and that you can go through in your computer if you want. This is an addition to, you have an app that is like a free app. And so if you are somebody who has a subscription to that show, then there are certain like only for those people in the app. Like you'll see in the app, there's like an episode you want to listen to. When you tap it, it'll say like, oh, you're not a subscription model server person. You need to be a subscription owner to access this content. And so it's accessible to you via the app, or it's accessible to you via the website. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that there is an email list attached to it. So there is a way for you to also have an email to be able to send emails to your subscribers and to upsell as you desire or not or whatever within the context of that.
Libsyn takes a pretty good chunk though. They take like half or 40%.
Something like that. 30 to 70%.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying they take a good percent.
But here's the other thing too. You can set how much you want. So it could be like $1.99 a month, or you could do a $9.99 subscription. So it depends on what you do it.
That's
Mommy
true.
Media also uses the Libsyn model. Now, Keith and the Girl set up their own subscription model. I'm not quite sure
how they keep it behind a paywall. But what they do is, so they have bronze, gold, and silver, and it's $15 a month for the lowest amount. And you're allowed to download up to 20 shows a day. And, you know, if you are a big fan and you have a reason to listen to 20 shows at once, that's a good deal because they have 1,800 shows, you know.
Right, that's a lot of shows.
Yeah, like almost 2,000 shows. So if you are, you know, obsessed with their show and you can't stop listening to it, that's a good deal, 20 a day. And then the gold, which is $100 a year or so, you could download 60 a day. Now, again, why would you need 60 of their shows in one day? But for some reason, you know, people must do it. Or maybe it's not even that. It's just for the support. and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And then same with the silver. It's like $70 for like 6 months or something. And the whole thing's on PayPal. But like you said, I'm curious, if you're not going to use the Libsyn model, how do they allow the show? They must have like a download pages. You get access to the pages.
Yeah, maybe. And see, so if you start to think about that, you know, because I think that the way that you kind of, okay, how much work do you want to do to set up your subscription?
Yeah, right.
How much, you know, how much are you going to be?
Just do it.
Yeah, you just do it. Somebody else is taking care of it for you. There's a problem that happens, you know, they'll fix it. You know, it's that right. kind of stuff. Right. If you want to do it on your own, I'm sure you can too, but I'm sure you're still going to have to pay some sort of, you're going to have to pay somebody something monthly. Yeah. You know, somebody, you know what I mean? Like somebody to deal with your money. I mean, if you get a lot of people, you're going to have to at some point pay for it. It's just a matter of what percentage of it is worth it to you. And is it time versus money?
Yeah.
Support, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, what Keith and the girl have done in the past as well is they've done the Kickstarter campaigns where they've raised money specifically for certain things.
Yeah.
They raised money to like redo their entire, like think their studio setup or something like that. And then, so they did like a marathon. That's what they did. They did a Keith and the Girl marathon where they basically broadcast straight up for like, I don't know how many hours, nonstop. And it was like, yeah, one of those telethons, so to speak. Yeah. And that's what they did. And they actually got hit both of those Kickstarter campaigns both times to be able to do what they needed to do, both to raise money for the website. That's what it is. I think they did a whole rebuild of their website and their studio. I don't know what it was, something like that, which I think, you know, if you want to raise money and be really specific with your audience, this is what you're helping me do. That's another thing that you can address.
Yeah. I just want to know. Yeah. I mean, cause I know what Libsyn gets and I wish we could have like a compare. And then the other thing is like, Elsie, is it cheesy to have more, like, would it be bad if I had an app that you could get with paid content through Libsyn and a Patreon page? Do you have to sort of choose one or the other?
I don't think so. It just depends on, it's just like everything else, you know, like when you are having a show, this is what drives me crazy about podcasts right now. And I think from my own taste in terms of listening to people, if there's like one call to action, that's the way to do it. Because if you start with, leave me a review, you know, rate and review, leave me a comment, send me some feedback, do that. And it's the same thing with this stuff. It's like, you know, if you have just a Patreon page, just funnel everybody there. Or if you want people to buy your app, just funnel everybody there, because people can't do it all. I feel maybe two tops. It's not that it's wrong. It's just that it's really hard to close something up and then say, support our sponsors, go and do this. Now go sign up for that. If you don't want to do it that way, you can always do it this way. And it's like, you get super confused.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only thing. If you, you know, if you can do it in a really wonderful way, hey, why not? You know, like however that is, like streamline it for your audience. That's super cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I know for myself, the only thing that I subscribe to that I'm like kind of like a part of and have, you know, supported in the past and still continue to support is Screencasts Online. Don McAllister's Screencasts Online, which are screencasts. These are video screencasts. And he gives to all of his subscribers, he gives two screencasts a week about Mac-related apps, updates, and iOS. So that's how I get, you know, up to date into the latest and greatest in terms of the Mac sphere. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it every week at all. In fact, I only go into and watch it maybe when there's an update, like a new, like into the new, you know, whatever operating system's coming up.
Right.
There's a new app that I kind of thinking of purchasing or whatever, because usually it does a really in-depth review on it and a really in-depth like walkthrough how to use stuff. And that's how I've learned how to use things like Pages and Numbers and how to update my operating system and new apps that are going to be helping me in terms of like my iPhone. Like that's how I do it. I don't watch it all the time. But I think it's a really great service, and I love Don McAllister, and he has been doing this, holy cow, for years now. And he built that subscription model all on his own. So he provides one, I believe, one free tutorial or maybe two free tutorials a month that you can download, you know, from iTunes. And then everything else is behind a paywall. So usually whenever you see something really cool, like he'll break down like the new iMovie or, you know, something that you really kind of want to get into, that's behind the paywall. It's always like, oh, gosh, darn it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff where it's like the GarageBand tutorials. Those are all behind a paywall. So you kind of have to. But it's fairly inexpensive.
That's the thing. The idea is to make it cheap. Yeah. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. And then he also provides PDFs to go along with it, as well as a, now he's got Screencast Online Magazine. Now, this is something that's been new that he's been doing that is really cool. So he is providing basically a Screencast Online Magazine only for iOS and, you know, iPad and stuff like that. And you can see all the tutorials through the magazine. And I think it's an added value again. So all the subscribers get that. And if you don't want to subscribe, you can buy one-offs when you go into iBooks, or I think that's what it's called. Or
is it screencast.com or something else?
It's at screencastsonline.com.
Okay.
Screencastsonline.com. And so when you see his magazine, you can buy, like, in the magazine in the iOS apps, you know, the newsstand thing, you can buy one-offs if you want from the magazine. I don't know how much he sells it for. And but if it's a if you're a member, you get them for free. And he had, you know, he's doing it like just for iOS because obviously he's a Mac guy, so his users are going to be using iOS stuff anyway. So it's not like he's trying to sell you on anything else.
So when you become a member, it's quarterly, yearly, $100 a year. Ah, yes.
He's super super awesome. He sends you an email whenever his new tutorials are up, and it basically tells you what the tutorials are for that week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you know, you can kind of like check it out, and his tutorials are like top notch. I mean, beautifully, beautifully made. And he's making a living, and he has been making a living off of podcasting for all intents and purposes for years.
Since the dawn of time.
Since the dawn of time. Seriously, I think he was one of the first people who started monetizing right away. And he just had a model set up and boom. People really liked his stuff from the get-go. But mind you, he offers a service.
Yeah.
It's an educational thing. Right. So now I
feel overwhelmed. I'm not sure how to go about doing the support thing. There's the support for free model, and then there's the support and I'll give you something model.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's like, it depends on what your business model is, you know, and you know, Don has a workflow. I've heard his workflow. He's finally started to before he was doing it all himself, but now he's starting to outsource certain workflows with team members, and he's able to grow, you know, what he's been doing. But it's streamlined. I mean, his work is amazing, but it's now super, super streamlined in the way that he does it. And you know, it's been working for him. Mind you, he's been working and he's created it all himself, which is really interesting because his whole website is by no means a Squarespace. It's not a WordPress site. It was designed for him, this entire CMS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it was just, so you know what I mean? It's like, it's a whole bottle of wax. So, but there's simple ways to do it where you're not making like a living, where you can just have like a PayPal button. You can have like something like an opt-in with a little sweet little gift that could perhaps, you know, change to some sort of lead, or maybe just grow your audience in some way. Or, of course, there's a swag. You know, you could just do a coffee press thing.
Yeah, I love the idea of swag. So fun.
I know. I like it as well, but I haven't found a place that I really totally super connect with that I'm like, this is awesome.
You're not into cafe press?
Not that much. But then maybe I should give it a shot again. I just think, you know what it is? It's like every time I bought from Cafe Press, all of a sudden I'm overwhelmed with the emails that they send afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, sure. I'm like, I don't want to keep buying t-shirts. And it's just too many emails.
Yeah.
And there's obviously the really like the kind of passive way of doing it. What I've seen people do is the Amazon not Amazon affiliate. I can't say that. You know, like you have an Amazon thing inside of your website. And if somebody clicks through there and then does in their shopping, then you get the affiliate commission for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I've heard people do that. And of course, it's not like too crazy, but, you know, some people do use that model in a sort of like a super passive way to make super passive income.
Yeah.
So
I want to go back to this podcaster guy, Tom Merritt, creating podcasts, making $11,000 a month. I want to see what he's, because if I become a patron, it says any amount is appreciated, but you have to do it per month.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no option to stop after 1 month. Oh, it does say all payments can be canceled at any time. You're only charged at the beginning of the next month, so you can review, edit, and cancel all pledges before then. But you have to take the initiative to do that.
You know what? That's almost in anything, though. Yeah, in all honesty. It's like you have to, because the whole point of a subscription model is that some, and then this is really sad to say, but it's like buyer beware. I mean, how many times have you bought something where it just keeps on coming up, and you're like, oh my God.
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying I can't ask people for $5 a month and then send them a t-shirt after they've hit 20. You know, I'm not keeping track of that. That's crazy.
Oh, I see. I see what you're talking about.
Like, is there a way, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like his reward, like he, you can be a patron for his show, but he doesn't offer rewards. Whereas like, I'm like looking at the setup for how to set up and, he has goals. If you get, if eventually he gets to 20,000 a month, he can do video production. If he gets to 50,000 a month, he can take the show on the road and like come visit you, which is what I would like to do eventually. Right. But yeah, getting to that point. And then it's like, again, there's no rewards. Whereas like you can also, you can set it up so that if they donate X amount, I guess per month, you can give them a reward. I don't
know. Right.
Would be. This is where I was thinking about swag.
Right. And I think that maybe that would work better. I've never worked with Patreon, so I'm not quite sure what the setup is in the back end of things. But I'm sure that you do you think you get a list of the people who are signing up, you know? And then this is when it becomes kind of like, I don't know, like how you can contact them. Like, what's the thing? I mean, do they opt in to get stuff from you? And there's something to be said about you setting it up on your own so that you can get, even if it's like a monthly thing, that's like one thing. But if somebody decides to do the whole, like, you know, $11,000 or whatever, $1,000 donation, then maybe they automatically get that specific swag and you get a name and there's like a deeper connection, if you will, with people where you know who they are because they're your patrons. They're like, you know, even if you're not using Patreon, that they're your patrons, you know, they're the ones that are like supporting you. So I guess the more they offer, the more they do, the better swag you offer to them as opposed to, you know what I mean? So
because you can set up a subscription for $1 a month through PayPal. You don't need them to do that. It's cute.
Right.
You know, but I know how to do that through PayPal on my own. You know, just go in under selling tools and then hit my subscriptions, and then you can make a subscription button or upload your own flipping button if you want.
Yeah,
I can make this whole page in my theme, just copy the exact thing.
Exactly. Well, no, this is what I'm saying. It's like, what is it that you're paying for? What are you paying for? And what level of skill do you have to be able to do this? Now, there's another aspect of this that I think in terms of the subscription model that perhaps is not talked about very much is the support. Like, who's going to be taking care of the issues of, wait, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did, lovely. You signed up for this on this date. Well, I didn't know that it was going to be month to month. You know what I mean? Like you'll get all that stuff or like it hasn't been canceled or credit cards that no longer work. Like there's all of that stuff that you got to deal with in terms of how are you going to support this subscription model?
That's a good point.
Because I know that those issues arise all the time.
But this way now, if you build it on your own, you have your own PayPal buttons for just people who want to donate monthly to you. And then you can set it up so that, hey, for $1 a month, you can be a supporter. For $3 a month, you can get the premium content through my Libsyn. for a year, and I could still have my own buttons, though. I wouldn't and then, you know, they would both lead to the My Libsyn page. But at least I would have an explanation of how it works, right? On my own, I would have control over it on my own. As opposed to click here to go to Patron, click here to go to My Libsyn, click here to buy a t-shirt on Cafe Press. Because I can't do any of this crap on my own. You know? Yep. So.
No, So it absolutely depends on what you're willing. And again, it's like everything else. You know, there's people who outsource their entire podcasts.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? Where they're like, oh, I just, you know, I don't want to do the edit. I don't even want to learn how to do the editing. I kind of want somebody else to do it. I don't want to do my show notes. They'll transcribe them. Oh my God. You know, and there's people, and there's some people who are totally into it. And they're like, I want to do soup to nuts. This is what I love to do. So it depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
And again, your end game, like how, you might just give up. You'll start doing the, it's like too much work for me to handle this all on my own.
Yeah.
So.
And Mark has a good model. It's a he just calls it premium accounts, $2 a month, $5 for 6 months, $9 for the year. I mean, who wouldn't do the year? Just so.
Right. And it's super simple, right? It's super simple to be able to get all of that content. You get access to it. It's very streamlined. You don't have to worry about it. He basically just sits back and everything was set up for him. So, you know, you don't have to think about anything else. You just kind of just continue doing the content. And his content is really good. And there's been so many times where I'm like, oh my God, he had so-and-so on. Oh crap. It was like episode number, whatever, you know, and it's no longer free. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to listen to that.
But you don't have a premium membership.
No, I don't have a premium membership. But it's like, I consider it. It's just that I honestly don't listen to Mark as often as I really, I get obsessed with him when I listen to him. I'm like, he's so good. And then I forget.
He's so good, So he's such a good comedian.
He's just a good interviewer too, though. I really like his interviews. He's just really good at them. So,
whoops, I hit a. Whoops, I hit a play.
You hit a what?
I hit a play on one of his things by accident.
Oh, you did. Oops. Okay.
His Libsyn page.
Uh-oh.
So you can only. So you can't. It means you can't listen through iTunes. You can only listen through the My Libsyn page if you have premium content.
Yeah, and you can also listen through the app. So you would have your own app.
Oh, see, I don't know how on your phone about that. They can't listen through iTunes?
On your phone. Well, no, because it becomes like, you know, the majority of people listen to one, two, or three podcasts a week, if that. And if you're just listening to Marc Maron, why wouldn't you just want to open the Marc Maron app? Like the WTF
app. That's certainly true.
So then it's like, yeah, if that's what you're like totally rocking with, you have everything right there. All the extra content, you have everything just there instead of having to go into, I don't know about you, but I'm not a really good big fan of opening iTunes as a whole, as an app computer.
I'm like, everything and it stalls. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you know that the podcasts app is becoming a little bit more usable, but in all honesty, I don't use it. I use three others. Never that one, because I don't like it. I think it's simplistic, and maybe they did, they just did, you know, a new update, which we might talk about in the future, but I still don't use it. I'd rather pay for another app that gives me what I prefer for me as a super stellar podcast listener, crazy pants person. So,
so on his own website, you can get the episodes that are free, but he doesn't. There's no pages to go all the way back to. I'm so confused. There's no pages to. He only has, I guess, the most recent 10 or the most recent 50 or whatever it is he's offering that are free.
Yes.
And then stops updating or hides them or something. And then they only go into My Libsyn. That's.
Yes.
Hmm. Yes. Can you do My Libsyn? Premium content that's not episodes but just attachments and stuff, so that all the episodes are still free, but if you want transcripts, okay,
so you can do whatever you want. You can do videos, you can do PDFs, and you can do other audio if you want other audio pieces. So there are different ways, and there's a lot of people, a lot of other podcasters that use that model for education. It's really, really good because for the education model, you get like all the extra stuff. So let's say you're teaching English to somebody and then you have like a whole lesson. And then if you have the My Libsyn thing or the subscription model, then you can just go in and you get all the other stuff. Like you'll get like tests, you'll get the transcripts, you'll get, you know, the vocabulary words, you'll get all that stuff you can have in the back end, which is really, really good for that kind of stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So reading lists, quizzes, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you can really do all that as well. And that's why you can charge it as much as you want. So if you want to have something that's more higher end, then you deliver on the content that is behind the paywall that goes along with whatever you're talking about. I think it's harder to do something like that when you're doing like a general, even if it's a niche kind of focused interview show, unless you're going to do, I don't know, something super specific. If you're talking about, you know, an interviewing a businesswoman talking about, let's say what we're talking about right now, premium models. Mm-hmm. And then let's say we offer the premium, you know, bonus feature for this episode. It would be a walkthrough of Patreon, a walkthrough of My Libsyn, a walkthrough of all the, you know, WordPress plugins that create, you know, the subscription model thing, like something like that, that is super like above and beyond what we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So interesting. And you know, we haven't even really touched on the fact that like, it's certainly easier to both set up. It's easier to set up if you're just going to accept donations and nothing else. Cause you can do the patreon.com, which is easy to set up, or you can just do a subscription button and have it on your site without giving anything. It's when you want to give something back for the donation that stuff gets tricky. And yet, to so many of us, including me, that's what feels better because we don't want to accept something for what we consider, I guess, nothing. Although we are doing the show, it's not nothing. Mm-hmm. Doing the show is not nothing. It's time consuming. It's work. It takes skill and effort to come up with good people to interview and good content, or even if you have somebody not good to interview and you have to make it good.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you're
right. It's a skill, right? So
it is a skill.
And yet it still feels like give me a dollar a month for nothing when you ask for that on some level.
But seeing that, and to some degree, you got to get over that or not. You know what I mean? Because it would be like more of a mindset for you. And, so and I think that maybe it comes easier for some of us than others. And in the reason that you started to do it in the first place. So, and how driven you are to do it. Because, you know, Gamer Tag Radio, which is another one of the Libsyn shows that has like the app model where they, you know, they, when you purchase their app, you actually, like what they're doing is they're going to be like going to E3, which is like the game, like the gaming, like convention. It's kind of like the Oscars for gamers, I guess, if you will, if you want to do it like that. And they go to the conference like once a year and they get interviews with everybody on the show floor. They get interviews with all these like, you know, gaming people that are super famous in the industry. And they only offer that extra feature if you have their app. Mm-hmm. They only offer all of those bonus interviews. All of that bonus content is only available via their app. And that's, and they love to do it that way. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You know how I think you get over the whole something for nothing thing? When enough people tweet you, comment, email you, and tell you how much they like it, you start to feel like, okay, I'm giving something here. It's not nothing. At first, when you start, you feel like if anybody listens, they're doing you a huge favor. But at some point, over time, the table turns and you start to feel like, oh, maybe you're doing them a service and maybe you should get something for that service. But at first, I don't know about you because it's been a long time since you started your show, but like for me at first, if anybody was just like, I heard that and it was so great, I'd be like, thank you for listening. That's like the nicest thing I ever heard, you know?
Yeah. And you know, this is another interesting thing too, because it depends also how long or if you have been doing business, you know, because if you have been doing business for a while for yourself, then maybe you have already kind of worked through that whole, value for value, what is valuable, and kind of getting over your own, like, whatever mind blocks that you might have. But if it's like somebody, like for me, I, at least for the yoga podcast, I don't think I'm able to get over it, because I started it from a purely like service focus, you know, and the more that I tried to monetize it, the more foreign it felt to me. That doesn't mean I don't believe in it though, because if I, like I, you know, like I said, I've been concepting other pieces of stuff that I want to put out,
right.
And I absolutely will not feel like, I don't have any hesitations in asking for something back from my audience, because I know now how much work it takes. And that's actually one of the reasons that I'm not following up with the yoga stuff, because it's for free. So It's, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll offer it to you when I have time. I know that I'm really good at what I do. People pay a lot of money to work with me privately. And at this moment, I'm not getting any money from you. Not to say that that's the only reason I work, but at this moment, my time with my girls is more valuable than me offering a free hour class for you, because it's going to take me an hour to record it plus more times to put it up. So it's like, if I have time, I'll do it, and I'll do it from the bottom of my heart. And with the expectation that you're not going to expect it from me again.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's whatever's there, whatever's there.
Right.
But if I was offering something consistent in depth, and I was, you know, spending a lot of time to create this content, then I would say like, hell, like, throw me a bone.
Right.
So,
yeah. So I think it just depends on where you are also in your show, whether or not donations are the right thing to ask for. You should know, like, I feel like it's the right time. Also, another indication that it's the right time to accept donations is, have people asked you where they can support you?
Yeah, that's happened to me with the yoga stuff a lot of times. And even that has been really hard for me. Because it's like out of mind, out of sight. But yeah, that has happened. Like, where can I send you money? I've had that happen all the time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, going to PayPal, I'm like, I don't know. So I should definitely just do it just in case, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah, true that. It's just that it's so out of mind. It's so out of mind for me. I'm not thinking, hey, let's set up a PayPal thing. I just always am like,
Libsyn one is a service because we are your customers, so that's different. But maybe you could pontificate over how you might want to monetize this podcast. If you do, is it just a service? Do you want to travel around and have women podcaster meetups in big cities?
I know, how cool.
And how much would we need? I mean, we would need travel funds at least, you and I, or I don't know. It's something we're talking about not offline, which may be bad, but like, if you haven't thought about it for Elsa's yoga class, maybe this is something you would want to think, like, do we want donations? Do we have monetary goals? Are we just doing it for funsies?
Right.
Do we want to start selling t-shirts?
Right.
Let's say sheet pot. I kind of do. Would love to.
I think that sheet, you know, yeah, that would be, believe me, it'll get it. I think we should definitely have t-shirts. Absolutely. Yeah. We've already had people asking for us.
I think we should have it for Podcast Movement this summer, in fact.
Yes, we should.
I'd wear
mine.
Yes, we should.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
So yes to all of that. Yes, I think it would be really great to be able to facilitate even meetups like around the country kind of thing. Yeah, I think it would be awesome to get women podcasters together and to have stuff like that happen.
Yeah.
And what, speaking of that, here's another monetization model, which is kind of what it turned into here. What is her name? Oh my God, I'm going to have to think about this. The yogi, she's a yogi. Tranquility du jour. Tranquility du jour. And then you'll see what she
very
does.
French.
Kimberly Wilson. Kimberly Wilson. She has been podcasting again, super forever and crazy pants ever. And what she does with her hubster and her doggy is that they travel in their like really cool little like mobile home thingy majigger that's like old school, like 50s kind of thing. And they do workshops around like events. Like she's basically started to do like workshops, like in real life workshops around her thing. It all started from a podcast she began way back in the day. I think she started in 2005 for a podcast called Hip Tranquil Chick. Mm-hmm. And she, it was all like a yoga thing, but she was her own like Hip Tranquil Chick thing. And then she developed this entire brand around that. And then after that, her audience is super engaged. So they travel around and they do real live workshops based upon her books and all that kind of fun stuff. So this is something else that she does. And it's fueled by her podcast, which is, yeah, books. It's amazing. She's very good. So she obviously has online stuff that you can do at your own pace. But she also has face-to-face stuff where she'll have the meetups. And you come in and you do basically a yoga workshop extra. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what she does, but it's a really, really beautiful, like, you know, I mean, meaning exactly in the terms that it's like a creative thing. Like there's lots of art involved, lots of pens and colors and cutting and crafty things in addition to the yoga stuff. So she's awesome. Kimberly Wilson is fantastic. So
I have to look that up.
Yeah. So there you have it. You have it with that.
So that would be an idea too, even for us, some of the transcripts of the show and, turning them into learning tools based on what we talk about, I guess, different. I mean, because this one, especially for me, has been very educational, thinking about all the different ways to accept donations and should you give something back. And we didn't really get into the psychology of it, but still interesting to think about. I'm sure we'll cover it again.
Yeah. And then you know what?
Starting with it. So again, it's one of those things where like, I'm just starting with it. And after it goes for a little while, I'll be able to comment better on what's the more popular way to give. Is it premium content? Is it $1 a month? Is it grabbing a shirt?
Right. And also the other thing too is that we can ask our people to see when and how they would step deeper into to a podcast and give money in a consistent basis and not get anything in return, kind of like buying a course. You know, that it would be something that is really just podcast-centric. And, you know, because I know that there's been people who have wanted to do a live meetup, a live event, a live retreat. And it's just like people go like, yeah, we want to do that. And then nobody signs up. You know, there's
look at all the people that signed up for pot. I think they do want to do it. I think we just have to look in our, this is my trick for Lady Business Radio, is I've started to look in my stats for cities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What city locations, that's where we would go. So like absolutely. If we have huge listenership in LA, we would do a meetup in LA. If it's huge in Texas, we would go to Texas. If it's, you know, Canada, we'll go to Canada.
Right.
And then that's not to say we can't do big live events, like a women's podcast movement, similar, right. But I'm just talking about like a dinner or a day where we just like get together and I don't know how. Yeah.
It could be like a mastermind of topics of stuff, like kind of like a podcamp for women only kind of thing where it would be very centric to that kind of stuff where it'll be like development, like podcast development, production.
Right.
Yeah. Like super hands-on sort of with lots of different voices in the mix. And
I really like the idea of planning something like say in LA and then getting the LA podcasters to commit to doing a half hour or an hour workshop during that day.
Yeah.
So that we're all kind of putting it on, not just me and you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that that's fantastic because especially, in that way,
yeah, go ahead.
Because that'll fuel the momentum of the movement itself to also continue so that it would be, yeah, of course, like we'd be sort of like the instigators, but that it would sort of have a life on its own.
To
continue around, which is what I've seen lots of people do, you know, with like Danielle Laporte has done that a lot with her book, you know, with the Firestarter sessions where like a lot of people gather around and do them together and it just becomes its own sort of thing where people are kind of moving through that. And, you know, I just was talking about trying to grow podcast audiences by connecting with other podcasts. And that's a really great way to do it because for so many different ways that just like the cohesiveness of community does so much to drive engagement. So, yep.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Yep. But I still think it would be fun if one of us could come when they have,
absolutely.
Day events and different cities, kind of like Tori Johnson, where like she does Spark and Hustle, one in Washington, one in Dallas, one in Atlanta. Yep. It's all different speakers every time or different sponsors. Be cool.
Yep.
I have big dreams, Elsie. I know I do.
No. It's really good to dream that big. And that's, I think that really helps our listeners too, because podcasting is also kind of like being like an entrepreneur at home. It's like, there's a certain level where sometimes you get so small in your own kind of closet, if you will, because that's where you're recording or something, mm-hmm. and you kind of lose track of the bigger vision. And that's like the sort of like the pitfall of recording on your own. But then at the same time, when you start to hear conversations from the community, you start to see the possibility of growth. Mm-hmm. So
there's a little clicking. Oh, I went away.
Oh,
is it me? Yeah. I hope it's not me. No. A cat's laying on my lap and therefore my mic.
Oh, oops.
Do you hear it?
Nope.
All right, sorry. Well, I'll let it go.
No worries. All right. But I think that we've done such a good job at kind of diving deep into this topic today.
Yeah. I hope we did a good job. Please let us know, listeners, if we did a good job, what you think about donations, if you're going to try anything. I'd love to have you post your donation page either on the
Facebook
or in the show notes. I'd love to see what you guys have set up or what you're thinking about doing. Hopefully by the time this goes live, I'll have mine up and I can show you what I'm doing. You can tell me if it sucks. That would be awesome.
All right. We'll put a link. We'll definitely put a link in the show notes. Absolutely. And in post-production, if you will. And, you know, we can always update that because it'll always be out there. So, yeah. And we'll have links to all of these people we have mentioned to you. So that you can go check it out on your own and kind of be inspired of the world around and what the possibilities are to, you know, create a little bit of I don't know, back and forth between your audience and yourself, like a little value exchange and some, whatever that might be for you and how best it might work for you in the future or right off the get-go. Because that would be really interesting to see if somebody starts a podcast and right off the get-go they're asking for money.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy. I'd love to see that. So. There you go. So you can leave us feedback at, you can send us feedback also in the email, feedback@shepodcast.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Yay.
Yay. Thank you so much, Elsie. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for joining me today, Elsie.
You are so welcome. This was really fun and super insightful and a great conversation. I really loved it.
Me too. I love chatting with
you. Okay. We'll see you guys very soon. The rest.